Thanks, Chair. Morning, colleagues. I think I was not part of the oversight visit because we were deployed elsewhere, Gulendama flat in KZN. So I wouldn't comment much on the oversight part of the report. But I will rely on those that were present, and I will then support whatever they say in that regard. However, on other aspects of the reports that need to be adopted, where I was present, I'm fully behind that. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Piri, Honorable Piri.
Thanks, Chair. Morning to yourself. Morning to colleagues in the platform. Hey, Chair Kunzima, I'll have to join colleagues in not and in passing the report, as much as even myself, I was not part of the oversight. Thanks, Chairperson. We agree. Even though I was not part, I don't have a comment. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Shabalala Wakona.
I was just putting up a recommendation that I forgot about the Competition Commission. We did highlight that we would want to host them as the portfolio committee, and so that we can understand the issues of regulations and what's taking them so long. That's just a point that I thought that it needs also to be captured. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Going back to you, Honorable, I think I've mentioned everybody. I gave everybody the chance, ne? Because Honorable Komani is not yet back here. Okay. Honorable Mr. Mchumi, among the recommendation, I didn't hear you. You will correct me if I'm wrong. Or particularly in all these SOEs that are troubled, whether it's, in fact, all of them, whether it's Eskom, Transnet, Dinel, you can mention all of them. There is this problem of public and public partnership. I think we made an emphasis on that some of the problem in relation, especially to the issue you raise, that we also raise sharply, where Dinel and the Department of Defense is not coming to assist when it comes to procurement, and they will procure somewhere else instead of helping Dinel, you know, meaning that Department of Defense, Department of Police, and all these departments that are supposed to procure from Dinel are actually contributing to destroy Dinel. Therefore, we emphasize the committee at some point that we need the government, particularly the Department of Public Enterprise, to push for and deepen this problem, deepen this public and public partnership, so that we don't have a situation where the same entity is being undermined by other entities. You will take it in Transnet, vis-a-vis other mode of transport, whether it's Department of Transport and other departments that will not get things that they can get at Transnet. The second issue is around the diversification. You know, one of the problems that are frustrating both Dinel, Transnet, you know, and even particularly those two, is the issue of diversification. There is a lot that Dinel can do that not necessarily about weapons. You know, there are a lot of things that they can do. They can do things like cars, I mean, ambulances and all those things instead, and they can help our health system to improve. They can do a lot. We also just say the same to Safcor, that the Safcor can also make desks for schools and the furnitures for schools and a lot of other departmental, other government department to get cheaper prices and access those things to improve efficiency in our departments. And we raise those issues. Therefore, I hope I'm not repeating what is on the program, but I didn't hear you saying that, Mr. Mshumi. Back to you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. In fact, those issues have not found expression in the report, and I'm glad you have raised them. So I've noted them. I will include them into the report as recommendations for the diversification of TANEL and other issues, including the issue of the Competition Commission. I think the issue that this is raised by Honorable Tshabalala regarding the Competition Commission, one of the issues that we are told that public-public partnership cannot happen. They are saying it's uncompetitive behavior. So I think that particular meeting that we'll have with the Competition Commission and DTIC will help us also to deal further with this issue of the recommendation. I will include that, Chair. It was not included. And then in terms of the all the other issues, the other thing is that the members must always feel free to even make recommendations, even though they were not at the oversight visit. Because the oversight visit it's just a continuation of oversight. Oversight is done through a committee meeting. Then a decision is taken based on issues we hear in a meeting to go to an oversight visit. Even though a member was not in the oversight visit, but he can still make input into the report and even make recommendations through what has been presented to us in a committee meeting, even things that members might be aware of, that let's use this report also to make that recommendation. So it does not exclude members from making that those recommendations. Yeah. No, thank you, Chair. I will include all the issues that have been raised by the members. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Members. The report has been adopted with those amendments. Thank you so much. Can we go to the second presentation by Ms. Brown, Mrs. Brownwell?
Hi, morning to everybody. Hope you can hear me.
We can hear you loud and clear, madam.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, the Sang asked me just to do a presentation of a paper I did. It's a bit old. It's 2016 when I did it on international case studies on SOE legislation. So I'm just going to give an overview of this legislation that I prepared. It was basically for the committee in the previous parliament. And what they wanted was to look at, because we were waiting for this bill on the shareholder management bill to come through. So in order to prepare for that, they wanted to look at international case studies to see if they could go on a study tour to look at what other countries were doing with regards to legislation, with regards to SOEs. So at the time, they requested to look at countries that are perhaps close in proximity so that they could go to more than one country. So what I did was I looked at the World Bank's toolkit on SOEs and looked at what countries they had as case studies there. And based on what they did, I took a selection of them, of the countries that I felt was more similar to South Africa. And I looked, so that came, I did South Korea, the Philippines, Malaysia, and India, because they have legislation and they also went from a low base to a high, well, they were very good countries at the time. They started from a very low base. So that's just a bit of background. So, my first one I looked at was South Korea. Not in my paper, I do give demographics, but it's a bit old, outdated, the demographics at the moment. But the legislation is still relevant. So I'm just going to look at the legislation and what they did. So with respect to South Korea, they first had a Framework Act on the Management of Government Invested Institutes, which was ran from 1983 to 2007. And the main thing that did was it devolved the power from the line ministries to include the Economic Board, Planning Board, and gave greater powers to the Board of Directors and Executives. So before it was all with the line ministers and they had full control of the entities. So that led to lots of corruption and some of the problems that we experience. So that was the first act that they had. Then the problem with that act is that it also didn't include other types of government invested institutes. It was only focused on a few. So they wanted to include other types as well. So then to make it more broader and more all-encompassing, they came up with the Act on the Management of Public Institutions, which ran from 2005 and is still currently in place. So some of the highlights of that act was the classification of SOEs in public institutions. And based on the classification, it prescribes governance structures, how the entities would be governed. And it also limits the right of the line ministry to intervene in the management of SOEs. So in the act itself, it prescribes exactly in which situations the minister can intervene. So it's very clear when the minister can intervene and when it cannot intervene. It also establishes the Committee on the Management of Public Institutions. And this committee appoints directors. They are more with regards to governance. Can you go to the next country? Tisang, thank you. Okay, so the next country I looked at was Malaysia. Malaysia doesn't specifically have a legislation in place, but they have a government link companies transformation program. So this program aims to transform the government-linked companies to high-performance entities and also help accelerate the country's social and economic development. So at the time when I did this, Malaysia was getting to be a high-income country. They wanted to be classified as a high-income country, and they were gearing to get to there by 2020. So this was the aim at the time. And this program established the this committee on the GLC high performance, the PCG, to drive the delivery of the GLCT program, and it's chaired by the Prime Minister. So the PCG basically was to design, implement, and oversee the policies to transform these GLCs into high-performing companies and establish the framework to program, manage, and oversee the implementation of the GLCT initiatives. So even though it was a program, it was driven by the Prime Minister of the country, and they had a lot of success in implementing this program. Can you go to the next country, please? Okay, so in the Philippines, they also have the Government-Owned and Controlled Corporations Governance Act, which was implemented in 2011. And this act established the Governance Commission for GOCCs, which is the central advisory, oversight, and monitoring body with authority to formulate and implement policies in the active exercise of the state's ownership rights, ensures GOCC's financial viability and financial discipline through adherence to the highest standards of corporate governance. So this act also, they also classify the GOCCs according to also the type of institute that they are. It establishes performance evaluation systems. It also coordinates and monitors the operations of the GOCCs, and it also reviews their functions and makes recommendations on corrections or alignments with regulatory or commercial functions. So this is similar to what South Africa wants to do, because we have an issue with regards to our developmental mandate versus our commercial mandate. So this entity that they've established will review like the entities and see if there's an alignment between these the developmental goals and the commercial goals. And if there's not, they'll make recommendations of what can be done to correct that. And then they also make recommendations on suitable candidates for appointment of directors, which basically they provide shortlists for on the appointment of directors. And then again, the CGC is situated in the office of the president. So if you already noticed from the three countries, it's always driven by the highest office in the country. It's always the president that drives this. Can you go to the next country, please? Okay, then India. India itself also doesn't have a specific legislation, but they do also have policies in place with regards to public sector. So the Statement of Industrial Policy of 1991 included a public sector policy. And this include the one of the issues, or some of the highlights of this policy regarding the public sector, was to improve performance through the Memorandum of Understanding system, which allows management greater autonomy and accountability. So this is similar to South Africa, where we have the contracting, the performance contracting. So the Memorandum of Understanding is basically also an agreement between the ministry and the entity of what they're going to do for the year. Then they also have the National Common Minimum Program, which is a policy towards public sector entities, and it defines government's aims for what they want the public sector to achieve, enterprises to achieve. And then they have the government adopted the Corporate Governance Code, which is formulated by Securities and Exchange Board of India, which is similar to what we have with the King Code. And then the classification of enterprise determines the degree of autonomy for central public sector enterprises that receives. So this is, again, the classifications based on, their classification is based on the income that they make, or how, if they may get money from government. So they classified according to that. And depending on that, their governance structure is also determined. Then they also have a Department of Public Enterprises, which is the agency for all the PSEs and assisting policy formulation pertaining to the role of the PSEs in the economy, and also in laying down policy guidelines on performance improvement and evaluation, financial accounting, personal management, personnel management, and all the other related areas. So you can see this is similar to what South Africa is doing, but they seem to have more success because their entities actually do make money and actually give money back to the fiscus. Whereas in South Africa's case, that does not happen here. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So those were the four countries that I looked at, and just some of the cross-cutting themes or the observations with all of these countries is that you would notice the next slide. Thank you. The observations from the case studies is basically that these SOE reform should ideally be driven by the head of the country. So if you look at the four countries, you'll notice that the offices are always either headed by the president or the prime minister, or in their offices. So it's definitely driven from the top. Then SOEs are seen as the vehicle for economic development and attaining national outcomes, which is similar to South Africa. They define what the SOEs and classify them accordingly. So we have similar to that in the PMMA, but that's more for financial issues. It's not for governance, really. So that's something we need to look at. And then consideration of the scope of the proposed legislation. So we need to know what exactly, how far the legislation will go and what it will cover. And then the reporting lines needs to be considered in the devolution of power. So a lot of the legislation in the case studies devolved power from the line ministries to include other ministries, or made separate bodies to oversee governance. And then with regards to SOE reform should be reported and overseen by a political level. This is just the reinforcement of that that's driven by the president or the prime minister. And obviously, the parliament should have a hand in it to keep an eye over everything. So this is just some of the observations, and those were the case studies that I looked at. There was, they did, in that parliament, did request to look at Africa to see what's happening in Africa. But at that time, there was nothing that we could really compare ourselves to. Namibia does have legislation now that they've put in place with regards to SOEs. But other than that, there's nothing that we could aspire to at the moment. So I also looked at this further case studies that I looked at is Turkey and Japan and Finland in the annexures, if members are interested. But for what I would suggest was these four countries, because they're close in proximity and they also started from a low base, similar to South Africa, and it worked for them. So those are my recommendations. Thank you. If anybody have any questions.
Thank you. Well, Honourable members, this is a presentation. Can we get questions or perhaps, because this is supposed to determine which country would love as a committee to require to recommend to go and the experience and I mean and look at their experience in order to understand how they are dealing with these state-owned entities. Can I get the members' contributions? Let me check who's putting the hands. Honorable Shabalala, you're the first. Put your hand up.
Oh, thank you so much, Chairperson. Really appreciate, I think, the work that has been done. All I want to check, Chair, is that I would have missed it. The issue about the dates, which dates are we proposing for the study tour that we ought to have? But for me, from where I'm seated, Chair, I would like to really welcome the presentation and the work that has been done, but also to employ the Chairperson to have communication with the Honorable Floric, so that he understands how important this issue is, that we see ourselves going to an oversight. If possible, the dates the committee could put up for November or February next year before the SONA, so that Parliament can consider around that. We really need to go out and check the SOEs that have been stabilized in these countries, but also the issue of energy, so that we are able to come back to Parliament and give Parliament better recommendations. Because it seems that every time we're interacting with these entities, we make recommendations, we do reporting, they kind of don't take our recommendations at times to implementation. So perhaps when we do that ourselves, we come back and we employ Parliament on this recommendation so that the entities could be directed from the Speaker's office. Thank you so much, Chair.
Okay. Is there any other member? Thank you,
Chair.
Is there any other member?
To make, yes, Chair. There is a member. To...
Yes, Honorable Gumede. Honorable Gumede.
Chair, are you with
Honorable
me?
Honorable Gumede. Yes, I'm giving you a platform, Honorable Gumede.
No, thank you, Chair. Hearing the or recommendations or could be the we may learn from other countries. The situation here. Comparing the non-comparables. Our state may not be the affluent countries. So they currently don't face a state capture kind of a situation. Which, in fact, I think we're being trained in the sense that we are financially not viable to learn some of the things. But what's more critical for me is, despite all that, is the willingness of all the necessary structures, which could be the Treasury, the board, the CEOs, and the entities themselves, including the department, is how far is their willingness, the preparedness that should we be going on a study tour, some of the things that we may learn and come back with an intention to implement some of those things. How are all these people prepared to try and practice or even test some of the things that in fact will be presenting to them? Because there is nothing, Chair, that's so frustrating that you come back, you expect the implementation of some of the things that, in fact, are easy to be achieved. I remember one day we went to Brazil. We were studying something like food for waste, that we're going to encourage people to collect all the garbage and whatever, come back, sell that food, rather the garbage. And the person will be given a parcel or a pocket, could be of potato or pumpkins or whatever. That may be the same weight person would have. That thing has never taken off. So all what I'm saying is, in fact, a commitment from all the sectors that I've mentioned. It's useless for us to go abroad, come back, and officials or whoever is not prepared to take. But all what I'm saying, Chair, we've seen the recommendations. I hope some of these things will be endorsed by our study tour. Come back and be given a very sort of a plan. I heard Honorable seem to have plans. We've presented quite a lot of plans. It's only that they don't get implemented, and we keep on changing up until we change no more. So all what I'm saying, Chair, I welcome the presentation in a sense. I welcome the view, the idea that let's go on a study tour, but how prepared will be politicians in this instance and many others to implement some of the things we would have learned? I'm not sure whether we're the first team that will be going abroad, or there are other teams that did go abroad, where some of the things that they presented tried, or the scenario was definitely not the same. It would have been good that we failed to implement the Indonesia situation, because these are two different kind of scenario. Then we can't implement some of the studies we would have achieved. But for me, Chair, I'm happy with the situation. Let's do that. But it depends on the preparedness of our, it could be the government or the department and many others, Chair. Otherwise, I'm happy with the situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede. Honorable members, I think, okay. Honorable Kwangwa.
Chairperson, thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. No, I want to
remember, I might be sounding very shaky because I'm load shedding now.
Okay.
Yeah, come, Honorable Kwangwa.
No, I was going to say, I think Honorable Shabalala and Honorable Kumet have actually hit the nail on the head, Chair, to say that Honorable Shabalala, for example, is saying that perhaps in instances such as these ones, where we undertake, say, committees undertake study tours in order to get a better sense of what needs to be done in solving some of the problems we have in our country, especially now with respect to SOEs, it's important that whether it's through the chair of chairs or the speaker of the National Assembly, that when there is failure of the recommendations which make sense to be implemented by the various entities, that the executive authority of parliament takes up the fight on our behalf to make sure that taxpayers' money is not wasted, where we go to these study tours expensively as parliament and then come back and nothing ever gets implemented. But you see, it's not the failure at times. I want to say it's not just the different entities of government, the departments that don't implement their own recommendations. At times, we even at fault of not implementing our own recommendations as parliament. I want to make an example in 2018 when Jackson Mthembu was still the chief whip, the late Jackson Mthembu was still the chief whip. As the chief whip, so we undertook a study tour to Ghana and then to the UK about how to improve our parliamentary systems and so on. But we came back and never implemented our own recommendations. And it's one of the things that we've been saying as some of us who participated in that study tour, we're saying we're disappointed with that. So as much as we must expect the departments to implement recommendations, we should also do the same about the recommendations that affect us internally as Parliament. So I agree, Honorable Gumede is right. We go on study tours, we come back, there's no implementation. We go on another study tour, we come back, we recommend, nothing ever gets done, or most of what we recommend gets ignored. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kwangwa. Honorable members, let's soldier on. Our responsibility is to do oversight and recommend. The executive has to execute. Then we have to just do our work. If they don't take our advice, it's up to them. We do our part. We play our role. Honorable Dlamini?
Thanks, Chair. I think I want to welcome the report and appreciate the work that has got into recommending the countries that have been presented today. I think in our country, we have a different situation, which is man-made. It's not a natural situation. Some would call it state capture, but it's theft, really, from SOEs. And out of that, we have made a decision to stop funding these SOEs, which is a very strange decision when you come to think of it. You don't stop plowing your fields because someone is stealing your produce. You deal with theft and continue being productive. To a certain extent, some of the decisions that we've taken at Parliament as well are actually suffocating these SOEs. I'm convinced all countries have gone through the same phase we are in, and they've been able to turn things around, and which is why it's important that you go in this oversight and learn from these countries and then strengthen our own systems when we come back so that we're able to revive these SOEs. It's not going to be a foregone conclusion that the solution is to privatize SOEs, yet we still want to argue that we want a developmental state with the state leading the development. And how is that going to happen if we've privatized everything? So at times we are speaking at odds from what we are doing and what we are saying. They don't speak to each other. I think we, in terms of ensuring that the executive executes our recommendation, it's still part of our work to make them account. And I think it would not be a far-fetched idea to make them account on something that we've recommended, because it would be some sort of a progress report to say, no, but on this issue, this is what we've agreed on. How far have we gone with it? I think in that front, you shouldn't give up easily. Let's continue. Things will turn around ultimately, but we must push. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Dlamini. Honorable members, I don't know, Honorable Tshabalala, whether it's a legacy hand.
No, Chairperson, thank you so much. I think you covered me with your statement around us doing our job, but also for us to understand that there are three layers of arms of state. We are legislature. So it must not be almost as if that we feel that, you know, we are helpless. There's nothing that we're going to do. We'll go. We just don't want to go for the sake of it. I think that's the point. So that even the public understands our reasoning around this issue. We're not just doing it because it's something that's there to be done, whether we're not sure whether they implement. No, we must do our job, go to Parliament, recommend to Parliament what needs to happen. And that's where we need to be really clear about, so that we don't confuse these matters about whether executive, whether treasury, we must lobby treasury to do that. No. That's not how it's done. I think something that I wanted just for us to put it into context, but you did cover me, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Tshabalala. Honorable members, at this point, I don't know whether, is there any issue you want to raise, Bramwell and Tsang?
Yeah, just on my part with regards to Mr. Gobedi's comment about they didn't have state capture. Some of these countries did also have also had issues with collusion, where the actually the state and the public enterprises worked together to make the companies bigger when they didn't actually have the money and they didn't need to. So there was corruption as well. So this legislation also looked at their legislation that was specifically in South Korea. So these countries also did have state cap, well, their version of corruption and collusion within the SOEs. So this legislation was also to drive, get rid of that as well. So they mustn't think that other countries don't have corruption and collusion within the SOEs. They all have. So they all had to fight that just as we're doing at the moment. It might not have been as big as ours, but it did happen in other countries as well. That's just my comment.
Okay. Where there is capitalism, there is stealing. Capitalism always steal. They steal even to the working class by exploiting them. Let's go to Mr. Mchumi. There is a question that was raised by Honorable Shabalala about the date and the office of the chair of chairs to sort of endorse our recommendation, because we're not only recommending to go to one of those countries, but we also wish to have a date. There must be a target date as to when are we leaving, when are we going to do this. It's either end of the year in November, or towards the end of the year, or at the beginning of the year, February, before the opening of Parliament. Those are the recommendations. Mchumi, you have to breathe on this.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I can...
Hello, Mchumi. Tisang. Tisang.
Recording stopped.
Honorable members, the song disappeared at the beginning. I think it's load shedding.
Hi, Chair.
Yeah.
From what I know, when the song spoke to me, he told me yesterday that the fourth quarter program for Parliament hasn't been circulated as yet. So he didn't have specific dates. He was waiting for the fourth term program to come out so that he could do the program as well, but we haven't received it as yet. So I don't think he'll be able to give dates as yet until the program has been finalized. Yes.
Okay. That is it, Honorable Members. In that note, Honorable Members, I think let's see, get Tisang to finalize. I think by next week, the program will be finalized, and then we'll be in a position to have a date. After immediately we come from the recess, let me say next week, immediately we come from the recess, the first week when we come from the recess, we will be getting the program. And suggesting that we close this meeting for now and adjourn until when we're back from the recess, Honorable Members. And I thank you for attending this meeting. Seeing you and wish you a good week of working in your constituency.
Hello, sir. The chair.
Chairperson, before you close, may I just make a comment, please?
Yes.
It's Farad Isaac. Chairperson, yeah, just listening to the program issue, you know, we should just bear in mind that obviously we've put the midterm budget, which is scheduled for October. And then, of course, we, you know, during the month of November, with all the BRR reports that are going to have to come through, the program, in my opinion, is going to be pretty tight. But I just wanted to mention and add that comment that perhaps the Secretariat, I suppose when the program comes out and together with yourself, Chairperson, you know, then you'll interrogate and make the best decision on behalf of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I think they will look at all that, including the Chair of Chairs. Honourable Members, thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Long live
the Chair.
Bye, Shamala. Bye.